They did, didn't they, Wayne? Imagine that. Last week we talked about loving God wholeheartedly. Remember, we looked at that great commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this week we're going to look at looking at wholeheartedly following Jesus. How did Jesus describe what being a disciple was all about? There were many different people in the crowds that followed Jesus. There were fishermen, there were carpenters, there were tax collectors, there were political zealots. Of course, we had the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of Israel. So they're all mixed in that crowd following Jesus. All of them came with different motives. They were following Jesus with different motives, different expectations for who Jesus should be, what He should do. But Jesus continued to make it clear that following Him, being His disciple, wasn't just about just listening. It wasn't just about receiving something physical. It wasn't just about receiving bread and fish. It was more than just joining a cause. What Jesus preached was sometimes really hard to take in. It was not a prosperity gospel. It wasn't the self-fulfillment gospel that we see so much of today. What's in it for me? Being His disciple was all about surrender. Following Christ demands surrender. Not only that one-time surrender that we make when we trust Jesus for forgiveness of our sin and we receive that free gift of eternal life, but the daily surrender that we make as we continue to follow Him. That's not part of the good news that people really want to hear. That's why it's not shared very often. People want to come to Jesus on their own terms. People want to follow Jesus as long as it fits in with their own plans and their own purposes. Sometimes it's almost as if we're telling Jesus, come and follow me. You can be a part of what I'm doing. The disciples up to this point saw Jesus perform many miracles. They saw Him turn water into wine. They saw Him heal the sick. They saw Him calm the waves of the sea. They saw Him feed over 5,000 people. They listened to Him teach God's Word, explain the true meaning of the law as He looked into their hearts. Yet many of them were still confused. Could this be the long-awaited Messiah? Could this be our new King who will stomp out the Romans and rule over us? Or is He just a prophet? And yet, just prior to this passage that we're going to look at today, He tells them He's going to suffer and die. Can you imagine the mixed emotions that these people had in this group of people that were following Him? Now, a small group had already given up a lot. They had left their jobs and they were following Him. What more could Jesus ask of them? We have to wonder what was going through their minds when Jesus made this next statement. And I want you to think about this. Let's see what comes to our minds as we listen to Jesus define what it means to follow Him, what it means to be His disciple. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We're going to first look at verse 23. Surrender your life to Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. I think it's good for us to look at His Word as we read. You can follow along. And He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you just to let that statement sink in a little bit. He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This metaphor describes what it means to be His disciple. In other words, what it means to be a follower of Christ. If anyone would come after me. In this verse, He lays out three conditions here that describe being His disciple. We all want to know, what does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to be His disciple? What we find here in this verse is surrender. Surrender. He says there in verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. What does he mean here by denying yourself? This is much harder than denying certain material things or abstaining from certain practices. This means that we surrender to His will instead of our will. This is a daily battle. We reject the leading of self-interest, self-fulfillment, and instead we surrender to Christ and seek to fulfill His will, His word. To deny yourself means to have, you've had a radical change of mind regarding the priorities of our lives. This is involved in our repentance of sin. When we deny, it's involved in our repentance of sin. We come to faith, you know. We must deny ourselves in order to come to Christ in salvation. It's a turning from your old life. It's a giving up control. It's surrendering to His way, His life. Your old self priorities are replaced with Jesus' priorities. Your old ways are replaced with His new ways. What did He mean? What did it mean for these people in this passage? Think about this. I mean, you had Peter there. Was Peter still thinking about how much he left behind when he left behind the largest catch of his life? All those fish that he caught that day? When he let those nets go and left his family and just followed Jesus? Was Matthew thinking about how much money he had lost as a tax collector? Were some of them thinking about their future? They left behind their families. They left their work and homes behind to follow Christ. These men were surrendering control to Jesus. Jesus was asking them, as He's asking us today, deny your own will and surrender to My will. Surrender to His will, His plans, His purposes, His direction. Just think about that for a minute. We're submitting to His authority. We stop making all the decisions and we allow Him to make decisions for us. Denying self, it's a daily battle and it's fought in our abiding relationship with Christ. When we spend time with Him. Because it can only be won by His power alone. We don't have the power in our own flesh to deny our flesh, to deny our sinful nature. We don't have that kind of power. It's just not going to happen. We need Him. It's only in His power that we can defeat our flesh, that we can deny ourselves. Secondly, He says a disciple must take up his cross daily. Now, in our day, people wear crosses around their necks, and hopefully that's to remind us of what Jesus did on the cross for us. How He bled and died on that cross and was buried and rose from the grave. He's no longer on the cross. He's alive. And He defeated death and sin so that we could have life. And hopefully it's to remind us. But what did they think about the cross in their day? It was a horrific torture and vile treatment, the worst that any person could endure. It was the electric chair of their day, but worse. I mean, think about it. Crucifixion would have not been a hot topic of normal conversation. No one wanted to think about that type of death. No one wanted to be reminded of what they had seen happen on the hill outside of Jerusalem, or how the Romans had so viciously killed their own Jewish people. And do we often talk about the electric chair? No. It's quite offensive. What did Jesus mean by then taking up your cross daily? Think what was going on in their minds and what they were thinking about. What do you mean, take up your cross daily? They knew. They'd seen people carry that cross up that hill to their own death. We sometimes hear people wrongly apply this saying to something difficult going on in your life. Maybe you have an employee that you have a hard time getting, you know, you have a hard time getting along with. Or maybe you have a family member that you have to take care of. Or maybe the consequence of your sin that you have to deal with. And you'll say, well, that's my cross to bear. First of all, taking up your cross meant that disciples of Jesus were willing to die for Him. Willing to endure suffering for Him. We know that the disciples were not willing to do this until after Pentecost, when they had truly tasted salvation through the power of His Holy Spirit. They ran away when the situation got difficult. Does that mean that following Jesus might bring suffering into your life? Yes, that's what it means. We are following the One who gave us an example of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 states, "For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps." Wow. That's a hard one. In our suffering, we bring glory to God. We bring glory to God. We become a witness to His power in us, of the joy of knowing Christ our Savior. God uses suffering in so many different ways, but suffering is part of following Christ. It's part of being His disciple. No one is immune to suffering that walks on this planet. We know that. It's part of life. Taking up your cross meant that you have made a commitment to follow Jesus no matter what, even unto death, even through suffering. When I was in contingency training in Idaho, when I was on the field in this contingency training, they trained us what to do if captured by a terrorist. And they trained us by allowing us to be captured and live in a terrorist camp. There were many different people in that group that I was in, different from different mission organizations. But during a little portion of the class time, they asked us a question about being willing to die for Christ. They said, would you deny Christ in order to save your life under a terrorist situation? Think about that for a minute. They used an example. They used a statement that we have to sign for the International Mission Board before we go to the field, that we will not forsake Christ for any reason. Many of them thought, you know, this is unfair. I don't think anybody should have to, everybody shouldn't have to make that commitment. But that's exactly what Christ was asking His disciples to do. His followers is exactly what He's asking us to do. He actually says in Matthew 10:33, but whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Is there grace and forgiveness for sin? Yes. But a disciple of Jesus follows Him no matter what. And for most of us, that doesn't mean we will become martyrs for Christ. This is not just about physical death and suffering, though. You see, we not only deny ourselves leadership in our lives by denying self, forsaking our will for His will, but we also die to self as well. This is the hard part. We put to death our sinful flesh so that God may be glorified in and through us. Galatians 2:20 states this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Taking up the cross is dying to self. This is what happens when we come to Christ. We are crucified with Christ. We put to death our flesh and we're made new in Christ. We're a new creation. We're born of the Spirit, born of God. We're born again. Just as those who had lost complete control as they carried that cross up the hill to their death, we have died to self. And now Christ takes up residence in our life. He is in complete control. Your life, your sinful flesh was condemning you. Think about this. Your sinful flesh was condemning you to an eternity in hell. And you have died with Christ in His death, and you've been raised with Him in life, and He has now given you eternal life. That's why Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So in denying ourselves, we're surrendering to God's will for our lives. In taking up our cross daily, we are surrendering to His control, His leadership. We are dying. This is a daily battle that demands that we continue every day to surrender to Christ. We daily put to death those sinful deeds of the flesh. We don't do it in our strength. We don't do it in our power. We do it in the power of Christ that lives in us. We do it in through our relationship with Him. As we spend time with Him, He empowers us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. It's not going to be done in your own strength. Lastly, he finishes it up with follow me. Now, what did he mean to follow? What did it mean to follow Christ? Take up your cross daily and follow me. This verb is present imperative. It means that we are continually following Christ. It's not just a Sunday following of Christ. It's the following of Christ every day throughout your life. Daily we follow Him. He leads us. He points the way. He gives us instruction through His Word and we obey Him. Daily we do that. We're following Him. We're going to follow Him and do what He wants us to do. We're going to follow Him and follow His example as we follow Him, just like the disciples did. They spent time with Him. They watched His example. They listened to what he said and they took that to heart and obeyed what Jesus commanded them to do. We're following him. We're not following ourselves. We're not following our flesh. We're following Jesus. We now live in a world that is in data overload. Think about it. We have more information at our fingertips than ever before in the history of this world. We see and hear so much information that it clogs our minds and distracts us from the important information that we need to know. The world around us just overloads our minds with knowledge and wisdom. I mean, knowledge and information. Jesus knew that day he was with his disciples. And they were asking him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he was giving them instruction on what it looked like to pray, to spend time with the Father. He knew that when he shared what he shared with them that day over 2,000 years ago, it would still apply to us today. Go into your closet and shut the door. Go into your closet and shut the door. And by the way, leave your phone outside. We must daily get away from all the distractions and we must listen to our King as we read, as we study, as we meditate on His Word, as we talk to our Father who cares for us so deeply that He allowed His Son to die on the cross. He wants to passionately, intimately walk with you every single day of your life. He paved the way for you to have life, eternal life with Him. He wants us to be alone with Him. And as we're alone with Him, we learn from Jesus' example. We heed His advice. We heed His wisdom. It's a daily decision that we make to forsake ourselves and the world around us and follow Jesus. But we can't follow Him if we're so distracted by all these other things in the world that want us to follow them. It's a daily decision that we have to make to surrender to His will, not our own. Every day we wake up, we have a choice. We're either going to surrender to His will for our lives or not. It's not easy. It's never easy for us to surrender. Most of us don't want to give up control to anyone. Most of us don't want to accept help from anyone. But we need Him. And without this surrender, our flesh will take over. And our flesh will start leading the show. And you know what happens then? We'll not hear His voice. We'll not hear the voice of the Lord through all the distractions. We will not be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit that lives in us. And therefore, we will not know what decision is best to make. We'll not know what direction is best to take. We will only see things through our human eyes, through a human perspective, not through God's perspective, not through the lenses of the Scripture. Surrender your life to Jesus. We must deny our selfish will and surrender to His will. We must put to death our sinful flesh and follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Talked about loving Him with all of our heart and mind, soul and strength last week. We wholeheartedly follow Him. We wholeheartedly love Him alone. Surrender your life to Jesus. Follow Him. Next, we see that the disciples of Jesus are not ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Look at verses 24 through 27. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Jesus explains to his disciples that losing your life for His sake is actually saving your life. He's not saying we have to be martyrs for Christ. He's talking about the surrender that we just talked about in verse 23. A surrender that brings salvation into our lives. For His sake, we deny our own desires. We die to our flesh and we follow Him no matter what. We turn from our old life. We surrender our lives to Him. We lose our temporary life to gain and to find eternal life in Jesus. In our surrender to Christ, our lives are saved and no longer condemned. He goes on to great extreme here. The greatest extreme. Can you imagine? What if you could somehow own the world? Gain the whole world. You're not only the richest man on the earth, you own it all. All the pleasures and comfort and riches of the whole entire world. Can you imagine that? The whole entire world. You see, even with all that the world had to offer you, you are the richest person on the world. You have it all. And even with all that it had to offer, you would still be condemned to hell by your sin. Wouldn't do you any good. You would have gained the temporary only to lose your own soul. Think about that. So I ask, is there any real gain in you being in control of your life? Is there any real gain in you being in control of your life? Is there any real gain in you pursuing materialism? Is there any real gain in giving in to our sinful desires? Is there any real gain to following the best that the world has to offer? No, absolutely not. Not even a little bit. There is only life in our surrender to Christ. Every time you surrender, we always think we have lost. But in our surrender to Christ, we have victory. Victory over life's problems. Victory over all the world throws at us. Victory over our sinful flesh. We have victory in Christ. We don't live life toiling and struggling through life. We live life in victory with a joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding. We don't just live life like the world lives. We have power within. We have hope that is lasting. He goes on there in verse 26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words," you see, there's no separation there between Jesus and His word. He says, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you when I come back to judge the world. You definitely don't want that to happen. When God sends Christ back to judge the world, when He pours out His wrath on this world for sin, you don't want Jesus to be ashamed of you. You want Him to receive you. You want Him to stand up for you. Yes, I died for Him. He believed in me. He surrendered His life to me. She followed me all of her life. I stand up for her. She's safe. Her name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't want Jesus to be ashamed of you when He comes back to judge the world. And you might say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. But are you ashamed of His word? Because if you're ashamed of His word, you are ashamed of Jesus Himself. And if you're not ashamed of His word, then why not spend time learning it? What's so hard about spending time in God's word if we're not ashamed of it? If we're not ashamed of His word, why not live by it? Why not forsake what the world has taught you and listen to what Jesus is teaching you and live by it? Why not make some changes in your life? And if we're not ashamed of it, why not share it with others? Why wouldn't we share it? If we're not ashamed of it, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. How can we be ashamed of something that gives others life? How can we be ashamed of the only way for sinners to receive eternal life, to escape the clutches of Satan and hell? How can we be ashamed of that? If we are ashamed of His word, then we are ashamed of Jesus. Christian has become just a word. It states your religion. It doesn't mean anything anymore. When someone asks me if I'm a Christian, I say, no, I'm a follower of Christ. Because many Christians today around the world live and act just like people of other religions. In fact, we'll often see more zeal from those who follow something false. In Acts 11:26 in Antioch, believers were first called Christians by the lost because they identified them as followers of Christ. And today, many Christians don't live lives where the lost would look at them and say, "Oh yeah, they must be followers of Christ. Look at how they live like Jesus lived. Look at how they love like Jesus loved. Look at how they talk about Him and share about His life. Look how they're so joyful like Jesus was." That's not the case. They do have a name for us, and it's not the name Christian. What's the name that the lost, the world gives believers today? What's that name? Hypocrites. That's right. It's hypocrites. Even those outside the church know that we're supposed to live like Jesus and be holy in our lifestyle. We're supposed to seek righteousness, not sin. We're supposed to be not slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. We're supposed to live and act and love like Christ did. Even they know that. He then says in verse 27 that some here today, when he was speaking this, will not die before seeing the kingdom of God. What was he talking about there? He was right. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus 8 days later and saw His transfiguration. They saw the glorification of Christ. This is going to be a reality for all those who follow Christ in heaven. You're going to be there. You're going to be, that's the kingdom of God fulfilled in us. By grace you have been saved. Through faith alone in Christ alone, which means you're justified before God. You're not guilty before God any longer. He then begins that lifelong process of growing us to be more like Christ. He's sanctifying us throughout our lives. It's a lifelong thing that goes on. And then finally, our salvation is complete. When we die this physical death, we go to be with Him. He gives us a new body, a glorified body. Perfect, eternal body. Jesus was giving them a glimpse of this glorified body. Giving a glimpse of the hope that we have. Every person who has trusted in Christ for their salvation has this hope. We have been given it all. Everything. Life, eternal. Joy, peace, power. We've been given an example to follow. Word for life, wisdom, everything we need. Jesus is telling us here what this life of being His disciple is all about. These first followers had given up everything. They were following Jesus daily, daily spending time with Him, daily listening to Him, daily obeying His voice, daily obeying His commands. They had surrendered their lives to Jesus for His will, His plans, His purposes. And many of these men would die for the cause of Christ. Jesus wasn't expecting just that one-time surrender. That's really important, that we surrender to Christ, surrender our lives to Christ for salvation, for eternal life. But He wasn't just expecting this one-time surrender. He was expecting a daily surrender in following Him. Every day as we walk with Him, we're faced with a question. Will I surrender to Jesus' will? Will I make this change in my life, or will I do it my way? Every day we must deny self. Every day we must die to ourselves. Every day we must follow Jesus' example, living a lifestyle that surrenders to His will and His way. But what happens so often is that we allow ourselves to be in control, which ultimately means that we oppose what God desires for us. We oppose His will for our lives. We oppose His plans, His purposes for us. And we find ourselves in continued disobedience. Do y'all remember what happened to Israel? We all do. We give them such a hard time for how they responded to God. Them old Israelites, they just couldn't get it right. I think Psalm 81:11 sums up Israel's way, how they responded to God. It sums it up. And my prayer is that this would not be our way. Listen to what he says in Psalm 81:11. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. They would not surrender to God. They would not surrender to His will and His plans for them. They chose to disobey God and His way, and therefore they suffered great loss over and over and over again. Romans 8, 7-8 says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." You see, the mind that is set on the flesh will not surrender to God's way and His will. James 4, 6 and 7 says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." Every day we must deny our own will and surrender to God's will. This cannot be done in the flesh. I keep saying it cannot be done in the strength of your own flesh. It can only through the power of the Holy Spirit can you overcome your flesh. Can you deny yourself and its desires and obey God's word? That is why time with Christ every day is so important. Because a day missed abiding with God, a day missed abiding with God will become a day controlled by your own flesh. It happens. It happens to all of us. A day you will miss abiding with Christ, spending time with Him, is a day that will be controlled by our own flesh. It's a daily choice we all have to make. One day we're going to get to the end of our lives, this temporary life, and we're going to ask ourselves a question. Lord, was I your good and faithful servant in the work that you had for me? Was your will done in my life, or was it all my will? Being a disciple of Jesus is about surrender. Surrender your life to Jesus. Let us deny our selfish will and surrender to His will. Let us put to death the sinful flesh and follow Jesus wholeheartedly. May we never be ashamed of Him. May we never be ashamed of His word, the word of life, the word that brings life to those who are lost. It has brought life to your life. And may in everything we do, we glorify Him. As the worship team comes, I want you just to stay seated until you're ready to stand and worship. If there's something in your life, if you're having a hard time denying yourself, if you're having a hard time dying to something in your flesh, if you're having a hard time following after Jesus because you're following after something else, surrender this morning in your seat. Spend time with the Lord and ask Him to show you. Maybe He's already shown you. Maybe you need to surrender. If you're here today and you've never surrendered to Christ before, you've never tasted His abundant life. We all know we're sinners, every one of us. We know our punishment for sin is death, eternal death. But we also know that Jesus, God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to die for us. Jesus came, He died on the cross for us. We studied that last week. He died on that cross, took all of our sin, our punishment of death on Himself, and He died. He was placed in that tomb. And this morning we studied that 3 days later, He rose from the grave. He defeated sin and death for you, for me. And He says, if you believe in me and who I am and what I did for you in rising from the grave, and you confess me as Lord, that means you surrender from your old life, you turn to Him, and you say, Lord, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm going to live for you. Please be the Lord of my life. You're in control. I surrender to you. If you need to make that surrender this morning, it's just a matter of you confessing that to the Lord. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know what my punishment is. Lord, forgive me. Forgive all my sin. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to live life for you. And I surrender my life to you. It's just a matter of you confessing that to Him, that you believe that He died and rose from the grave, and you confess Him as Lord of your life. And if you pray that, if you really commit, if you really surrender your life, He saves you right now. Your sin is removed and He walks with you the rest of your days and you will be with Him forever. Let's spend some time with the Lord as we sing this very familiar song.